picture.
I'm Sandy. I'm very grateful, Al-Anon. The Al-Anon speaker this morning is a stand-up kind of guy. He really stood up for me when I really needed it. I hope to return the favor sometime. He said he had trouble with boundaries. The conversation went like this. I need to get back to you. Then there were those ladies. Maybe he better tell you about it. Welcome, Howard S.
About the ladies, okay. That's for another time. My name is Howard, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon and a guest of AA.
Hey, Howard.
I'm going to read from Day by Day for June 16th. I had a different reading, and it just wasn't speaking to me, and I said, God, give me something else. And typically when I'm not in pain or under gunfire, my prayers are kind of half-assed. So the prayer was kind of lukewarm. He said, God, give me something else. And so God gave me my story. So on June 16th, it says, our personality types don't differ much from the rest of society, except that we couldn't stop abusing mind-altering chemicals or, for Al-Anons, meddling in people's lives. We were the power people, intellectuals, lives of the party, the spenders, the flower children, the parent figures, the experts, the revolutionists, or anything else that seemed to get us our way. The masks we wore were defenses, and because of our defenses, we were only living partially. By working the program, our defenses ceased to be so important to us. Step by step, we become full people, living full lives, no longer bound to society, defenses, or mind-altering chemicals. Then we can enjoy living rather than just masquerading. Have I stopped wearing masks? Lord, deliver me from a partial existence by my own frailty, and let me live fully through your divine will. Today, I will drop my defenses and be myself with you. My sponsor reminds me that I like to be CEO of Howard Image Management, and that I do everything possible in order to maintain a facade of respectability, of likability, of being a saint. Because in my mind, I believe that if other people were to really see what I was, what I've done, how I think, you wouldn't like me, you'd hate me, you'd stone me, you'd ostracize me. And one of the slogans that runs in my head is that I am not enough. I am not enough. I don't have enough. And so when I had finished my graduate degree over 20 years ago in Arizona, I thought, I got it going on. Now I can be somebody. Now nobody can think I'm not as smart as they are. And then I fell in love with someone, and she was really, really attractive, and she was a go-getter, and I said, now we're going to be a power couple. We got it going on. And then I got a job offer in Texas, and I said, wow, I got a high-class job offer. I got it going on. We moved to Texas. I soon got a house. Wow, I've got it going on. And pretty much the first fight that I had with my wife, I realized that was all a facade. And it was so easy to break through to that part of me that said I wasn't shit. That basically, because of what I had done or the things that I had experienced, there was no way that I could really be loved. It never occurred to me that God could love me. I mean, God was pretty much a porcelain object I had on the shelf in the break front cabinet that we take out on Sunday. only if you were wearing a properly starched shirt and a tie. But during the week, God was something I kind of walked by, cruised by, and how you doing? And I went about my business with my own decisions. When I finally crawled into Al-Anon, and this is the truth, my head was so messed up, I don't even know the year it was, because I had lost the skill of rational thinking. Alcoholics talk about blackouts. Well, those of us in Al-Anon get so concerned with other people's lives, we get so wrapped up in other people's pain, that we forget our own. And I should have known I was in Al-Anon for a couple of reasons. When I was a kid one time, my father and mother had a terrible fight because my father had been drinking, and my mother stormed out and left me in the house with three kids, and I'm running around trying to get the kids together because we were going to go get our school clothes. It was the start of the school year, and I banged my foot on the old cast iron bathtub, and it was bleeding. And I didn't look down, I just kept getting my kid brothers together, and I didn't realize that there was blood all over this white bathroom floor. We ran out, went to Kmart or whatever. When we came back, I saw the blood on the floor, and I realized I was so concerned with other people that I didn't even have the skill of self-care. One time when I was 15, I told my mom, you know, Dad's an alcoholic, to which she replied, no, he's not an alcoholic, he just can't handle his liquor. So I was raised in a lot of denial. When I came to Al-Anon, like I said, I drugged myself in. And the other song in my head was, if my wife would only fill in the blank, I could be happy. Because one of the ways my disease manifests itself is that God may be somewhere around, but you are the responsibility for my happiness. You are ultimately responsible for my pain. You're responsible for my happiness. If you would just change, then I and the rest of the world could be happy. So my first sponsor said, finally, you know, I'm really tired of you talking about your wife. I'm tired of you talking about this woman as if she's your God. And I fixed him. I fired him. Because my wife was doing all these different things. How could I be happy unless my wife changed? When I got another sponsor, I tried it a little bit differently. And I remember my wife and I were having some problems, and I weigh over 300 pounds. I'm over 6 feet tall, and I was afraid of my wife, who's 5'7". And I spoke to my sponsor on the phone, and she said, you can come to my house and sleep on my floor if you need to get away. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was not alone, that there were other options for me, that there were spiritual people who were willing to accept me as I was, where I was, and whatever I was. And I never felt that before. I worked the program by coming to meetings, by doing service, and by doing the steps. Now, I've heard a lot of people say they dread the steps. I've heard people talk about, I'm afraid of the four steps. I don't know why. I mean, I really get surprised when I see what I am. I'm narcissistic, I'm very self-centered, and I want to blame you for each and everything that's going wrong in my life. And what the program has taught me is, you know, if you just pray to God with expectancy, expect Him to do something, and be willing to accept what He offers you, you're going to be all right. And so 2 weeks ago, I came to a meeting here, and before the meeting, I stopped by the cafeteria because I was so thirsty. It was an unusually hot day, and I had just some coins in my car seat and in the car pocket, and I was saying, God, I hope I have enough money for a soda. That's it. So I got to the cafeteria, and I opened my. I asked her, how much is a soda? She said, $1.12. And I opened my hands, and I had $1.13. And I began to cry because God was telling me, I will give you enough. I have lived my life in fear. I have lived my life with masks, trying to keep my masks up. And it has only been through the process of prayer with expectancy, prayer with people that can support me, and the maturity that this program gives me that I am able to live. Last night, my wife came. I don't want to take her inventory. Last night, my wife did laundry. And she put the laundry on the master bed. And there was no room on the master bed. And I said, no, I'm going to use the Al-Anon program. So I went to the guest bedroom. And my wife came in. And she turned on the television set. And I thought, well, damn this woman, I'm going to go to sleep. And so I said, what would the program tell me to do? And my program says, you pray, you do the next spiritual thing, and you wait it out. So I read a piece of literature, and I prayed the Lord's Prayer multiple times until I fell asleep. In the morning, she got out of my way so I could really stretch out because the guest bed is small. But I finally experienced waiting it out through prayer. In Al-Anon, I have come to see that I have a lot of choices that I wasn't aware of before. When I was in pain, I immediately wanted to strike out. When I was in pain, I wanted to blame other people. When I was in pain, I didn't want to pray for God's guidance. I wanted to get out of the pain immediately. I have now seen that when I change my perspective and when I change my approach through the program, I'm able to lead a happy life. Now, I haven't gotten these lessons. I am still a work in progress. But I can tell you the day, 2 weeks ago, when I opened my hands and I saw $1.13 or $2.13, the message came across to me loud and clear. There is a God. There is a God that loves me. There is a God that will provide more than what I need. But I do have to ask. My approach to life has had to change in order for me to be happy. I want to put my masks up. I want to feel that I, by myself, am enough. But I need you. I need your support praying for me. I need your support when I'm crying. I need your encouragement when I'm sad. And I need your support when I forgot how to pray. I need people to tell me, have you prayed over it? I need to watch people pray. I recently had some woman ask me to sponsor her. And I told her no. I told her I'd take her phone calls, but I couldn't sponsor her because men to men, women to women. That to me was a milestone in my program because I believe I can save everyone. I believe it's my responsibility to run everybody's program. It's only through the program that I come to believe that I don't have to pretend to be God anymore. I let God be God. I can be a servant, but I am no substitute for a higher power. I thank you for letting me share.